You're listening to Reading Writers, a podcast on the joy of reading widely.
Hey there, I'm Aaron, and welcome to this week's episode of Reading Writers. Today, I am continuing my conversation with Brian Dimbozik, who is the author of Gospel-Centered Kids Ministry, which is published by Lifeway. He is also a colleague of mine working on the Gospel Project. So today, we are talking about the embarrassment of riches that we have in the West when it comes to gospel-centered, gospel-focused writings and work and curriculum and a whole bunch more. So if you enjoyed last week's episode, I hope this second half is just as enjoyable for you. This is something I'm really thankful about. Like, despite the fact that, you know, half the time everyone is all doom and gloom about the church and about the state of Christianity in the West and all these kind of things, we have an embarrassment of riches for amazing things. Yeah. Like, we've got those books that we've mentioned from a curriculum perspective. We've got the Gospel Project, which is amazing for this. My kids have learned a ton,
as have mine,
through it, which I'm so thankful for. You have people reinvesting in the art of catechism. Crossway just did the New City Catechism as well. Brian, you've got something that's not quite that you're working on, yeah, but is a guide for parents.
It's in that family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So,
conferences that are focused on, exactly, elevating the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron, I'm 44, so I've kind of lived through and grew up, cut my teeth, if you will, in the era where we as the church were Bible-centered. We had, especially in the SBC from which I come and am part of, we fought over the inerrancy of Scripture, and we held that up. And so that era was a very Bible-centered era, but it wasn't gospel-centered.
Right.
And so I lived through that, and I saw we've got to respect and so grateful that we did hold and cling to the inerrancy of Scripture. But coming up short of the gospel, that's where we started seeing the church really suffer, I think. And that's, mm-hmm, where we are seeing now, gratefully, and I think it's a good thing, we're seeing a purging of the church. And we're separating the cultural Christians from the genuine gospel transforming Christians, being transformed by the gospel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I am more excited today than I've ever been. When I look at the landscape of the church in America, it really, I see what Jesus said when he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see us getting reoriented, and there's this passion in the right place that I believe God can use mightily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And the beautiful thing about that is that this is not limited to one denomination.
No,
or
it's not.
One, you know, as much as I hate using the word, one tribe within evangelicals. This is happening in lots of different spaces. Yep. Like, you have small pockets of, you know, resurgent conservative Orthodox Christianity within even the mainline.
Yeah.
Which is good news. You have, you know, and I mean, if you look globally, Christianity doesn't have a problem right now when you really think about it from the global perspective. I mean, we're struggling in the West, yes, and some of that comes down to us having lost sight of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like we're starting to get back on track in some ways. Or at least we're seeing clearer divisions happening, which itself isn't necessarily a bad thing, because as much as I hate overly politicized politicized everything, which makes my Twitter so painful to read sometimes. Listeners, if you're big fans of politics, please don't tweet anything. Just don't. It hurts.
Put them up on your MySpace page.
Yeah, it's just, you know, use your LiveJournal, your MySpace, your Friendster, something like that, if those are all still around. Snapchat it. I'm not on that, so there I don't care. Yeah, all right. So let's see, how can we recover from that, Brian?
You know, you dug the hole.
I did. So
I think, you know, getting back just to that, that safer and more important idea of the beauty of the gospel being expressed more in God's people in the West and in the East, as you said, around the world, sub-Saharan Africa. And so, I mean, this is seeing God at work. mm-hmm. in an amazing way. It gives me grounds to be greatly excited.
Right. Absolutely. So now earlier we talked about as people, by virtue of having a creator who is a storyteller, we are wired for stories and we enjoy stories. We like reading them. We like writing them. You mentioned off air that you have a couple of books that you've been working your way through that you'd like to talk about as ones that you have read recently.
Yeah, well, in the process of reading three books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I generally don't read one at a time. I kind of pick up and I'll read a little bit for a while, and then I'll set it down. I'll pick something up, or I just mix them in. And one that I've finished reading recently, just kind of on my shelf, but I haven't been reading much as of late because I'm working on a big project that's taken up pretty much all my time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in terms of story, I'm reading The Lord of the Rings right now.
Nice.
I have not read it yet, and so
okay.
I just really, you know, I love the movie trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
The Hobbit was not as good, but Lord of the Rings, I think, was one of the best trilogies out there. Just great story. And so that just really kind of, I've been wanting to read it mm-hmm. all along. So I'm about a third of the way through it.
Okay.
It's long.
It is. So now a third of the way through the trilogy
Through the trilogy. I've got them all in one volume. So it's also my weightlifting when I pick that thing up and open it up.
It's like an ESV study Bible.
It is.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of working my way through that and really enjoying that. Really. Yeah. I'm keenly looking for his Christ-centered, you know, analogies that he makes an imagery mm-hmm. that he has through that. Also starting to work through a book called Quiet as an Introvert.
Yep.
That is a book that was recommended by a fellow introvert, and that's been sitting on my nightstand for quite a while, and I finally picked it up and started slowly working through that as well.
Yeah.
And then my wife and I are reading through a book together, Christian Marriage by Lloyd Jones.
Mm.
So we're just beginning to read through that, and we try to read a little bit at a time and then just talk about it. So working my way through those, and then I just finished reading a book, Progressive Covenantalism.
Interesting.
By Wellam and Parker.
Yep.
You know, I grew up as a dispensationalist, and I probably would still classify myself as one if I were pressed.
Right.
But I was never, even though I've done some charts, because,
yes.
I mean, you can't be a dispensationalist without doing some
Absolutely.
Charts. Absolutely. And I've taught dispensationalism, basically, in my prior roles of on church staffs as a discipleship guy.
Yeah.
But there are always parts of it that I never fully drank the Kool-Aid.
Right. So you mean the Left Behind series was not your systematic theology?
No, I started reading through it.
Okay, yeah.
To be honest, I started reading through it and then stopped. but I could never quite get my arms around the sharp differentiation between the church and Israel.
Okay.
And hyper-dispensationalism, to call it that, which would paint that hard line in between them. I could never get my arms around that. So I was always a little bit softer in it. Well, you know, as I rub shoulders with more and more people and never been a big fan of covenantalism proper as well, I've always kind of classified myself somewhere in the middle, leaning toward dispensationalism.
Yep.
So I saw this book and I'm like, all right, this is intriguing. Mm-hmm. And I read through it and I still need to digest it.
Okay.
But I think it could be me. I think that could be a better way to describe my eschatology and kind of my thinking in terms of these things. It just made a lot of sense. I think they did a really good job of supporting through Scripture, of course, that middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it is pretty in the middle.
Yeah.
I need to process that one some more.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. That's all right. See, that's the thing that's interesting with books that are on that subject of the end of the story, the end times books. They are never easy to, they're really never easy to digest. They're never easy to process or come to a conclusion to. And if you read one that makes it seem like it is easy, that means it's wrong.
Yes.
I mean, that maybe that's too harsh a statement, but I mean, that's certainly been the impression that I've gotten. I mean, I tend to go into that area of theology and assume, okay, everyone is going to be wrong on at least one part.
And I think that's key here. And I think mm-hmm. we just need to have that humility and recognize this is an area that's hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to hold loosely to the non-core, the non-essentials in this area.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Yeah, I'm trying to think of what would be a good recommendation there even. I mean, there's the one that you mentioned, progressive covenantalism. Mm-hmm. I know that Sam Storms, who is he holds an amillennial position. He's written some very interesting stuff on that. His book Kingdom Come is a very strong apologetic for the position, which often is interesting to read because it tends to be, a lot of the popular books on it tend to be not so much a book for its view, but just against dispensationalism.
Yes.
Primarily. And of course, if you want just something that's going to make you laugh, there's always a very old satire by N.D. Wilson called Right Behind. back in his saucier days. but that one's a ton of fun too. I'm just trying to think here. You know, you were talking about reading lots of different kind of books. Me, I do end up reading multiple books at a time. I usually have between 5 and 7 on the go at any one time, which is nuts. I don't recommend that, but I also...
It's how your mind works. I mean,
right.
We're probably wired the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard for me just to kind of drill down on one. Now, sometimes something will just really captivate me, and I'll read through it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But usually it's you know, I feel like reading this today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have my commute book. Mm-hmm. Which is
very dangerous for you to read.
I know. I really shouldn't be reading while I'm driving, but I'm listening to an audiobook, so it's okay.
I don't know if that counts.
It does count. It totally counts. You're consuming the content. Has an ISBN.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a long-standing debate on whether or not audiobooks count as reading or not. But I'll take it.
If it makes you feel better, go ahead and take it. Chalk it up.
That's what I'm going to do. So I'm going through Church History in Church History in Plain Language, the 4th edition. So, which is, for my money, is probably my favorite single volume church history text that's available. Bruce Shelley and because Shelley died a number of years ago, they brought someone in to do the most recent revision of it. So he's a co-author now whose name I have unfortunately forgot. But it is so helpful just to get the the scope of where we have been after Jesus. You know,
so story matters, is that what I'm
absolutely
trying to say?
Story is huge, and it's so compelling, and it's really compelling. So I mean, I'm digging that so much. Unfortunately, there's not an audio version of 2000 Years of Christ's Power. It's 4 volumes, which are now back in print. One of my pastors back in Canada, Leo, he raved about this book.
And you couldn't get it because it was out of print.
But I couldn't get it because it was out of print.
When I'm president, I'm making a law that you can't rave about a book that's not in print.
Well, here's the good news. Christian Focus brought it back into print. So there we go.
He would get a pardon.
There we go. See, it's okay. I'm just trying, let me just take a quick peek here. What else have I? So that's my current one. I just finished The Imperfect Disciple.
Yes, I have not read that one yet.
Mm-hmm. It is a good one. I mean, Jared is an excellent writer. I mean, we know, we've seen his stuff, you know, in work context too. But he writes exceptionally well. He knows how to tell a good story and carry you through, and show you why things matter. Have you read Hillbilly Elegy?
I have not.
You have not? Okay, that one is a good one too. Depending on your background, it might hit a little close to home.
My wife is from Kentucky, so...
Well, there you go. Is she from that part of Kentucky?
No, she's not. She's quick to say she's from Western Kentucky.
Oh, okay. There you go. So, but it is interesting. And then, of course, there's also the Benedict option, which... I mean, if you want a book that is, in terms of its tone, the polar opposite of what Trevin wrote, in This Is Our Time, that is the book for you. Although a lot of the conclusions are very similar. Interestingly, it's just the stance. So, but again, all fun, all trying to figure out what to do in this world and give us a grander scale. So Brian, is there anything else you'd like to say before we leave off?
No, I mean, except for reiterating that reading a book requires you to pick up the physical book and read the words. Other than that,
there you go.
I mean, because it's called reading a book for a reason. But
you know,
I'm just old school. I don't even like reading on a tablet or anything. Yeah. So
I understand.
One of those Kindle things.
Yeah, Kindle things.
Give me paper. Cut down a tree so I can read.
You know, I do like I like reading. I do like reading physical books a lot more than I write like digital ones. Actually, here's something. Because we've been talking about stories so much, something that is worth reading now, whether you're a Christian or not, one of the best things to do is to read. Is to read the Bible in a reader's format. And so I've been doing that for the last few months. Crossway has one in the ESV, in their ESV translation. You know, us here at Lifeway, I understand we're putting one out in the fall, actually, that is a single volume reader's Bible.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting in our new translation, because it's really good. But it's really great to just read through, not worry about the verse numbers, arbitrary breaks, heading, like random chapter headings and whatnot, and just absorb the whole thing and immerse yourself in it, and not worry about. And so obviously you're not doing your in-depth study in that kind of reading. But you are just letting the story wash over you. And it's fantastic because you pick up on so much stuff that you miss. And, I mean, you miss so many other things that you wouldn't. But it's so good to do. So I don't know if you've tried that.
No, I've done, like, you know, the harmony of the Gospels in one. Mm-hmm. Usually you've got the column set up.
Yeah.
But there's one way of doing it where they congest it all into one just similar thing. So you can just read through.
Yeah.
And it flows so beautifully. And it's the same thing. When you get away from the confines of verse and chapter designations and so forth and just read words.
Yeah.
And read the story. It you will see things that you've missed before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, listeners, that's where we're going to leave things off for today. Brian, thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
This is awesome. And you can get a copy of Gospel-Centered Kids Ministry on lifeway.com. That is where it is available.
Yeah.
And if you happen to see us at your next Christian conference, you may or may not be able to get a copy from us at the Gospel Project booth as well.
We may be stashing a few.
We may be stashing.
Maybe.
Maybe. And if Brian's there, he'll sign it. And if he's
with
not...
chicken scratch. You've never seen my signature.
Absolutely. But if he's not there, I'll sign it for you.
There you go. Yeah. And it'll probably be more legible than mine.
I have a nasty case of left-handed dude. So, all right. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Reading Writers, a podcast on the joy of reading widely. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a rating and review on iTunes. Your feedback helps more people find the show. You can find me on Twitter at Aaron Strongarm. And for more content, including reading recommendations, please visit bloggingtheologically.com.